for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance and Teaching Meeting, September the 4th, 2011. Jane Hunt is the speaker of this service teaching on the Ark of God.
We were going to do something different, and now we're not going to do that. And we're going to do what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Amen? All right. Sister Jane Hunt, who we are grateful to have with us. Praise the Lord. She is our friend, and we love her, and we love what God's doing. Amen, amen.
For those of you that know me, this is not typical of me to act like I've been acting, but I could care less. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, and we bless you, Lord, and we just love you, Lord. Father, we come into your presence, Lord, and we ask that you would anoint our ears to receive, to hear what the Spirit would say to us. It doesn't matter about what I say or what I do, Lord, but that the Spirit would move in this place, Lord. And Father, we would be drawn into the higher places in you, Lord. Because, Lord, we know that we've just begun to scratch the surface, Lord, of where you want us to be, Lord. And Father, we know that your word tells us that we're seated in heavenly places, Lord, but we want to just move into a higher place closer to the throne room than where we already are, Lord. Father, just move upon us, Lord. Move upon your people, Lord. Move upon your ladies, Lord. Move upon your men, Lord, that we can come forth as victorious and strong and mighty warriors in the kingdom of God. Because, Lord, we're in a battle, and, Lord, we know that it's going to only intensify, Lord, as time goes on. But, Lord, we know that you have given us victory. You have given us victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, where I'm going with this and where it's going to end up, who knows? You know, most of the time, a lot of times I bring stuff down here that, you know, in case they need me to plug in somewhere and teach that I've got something that I can share. I don't have nothing today. I've got a few little notes that I made, but it's whatever God wants is what we want to do. I had an experience with the Lord about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and something that changed me so totally, changed me inside, changed me all over. It seems now that I can't get enough of the Lord. I wake up in the morning eager to see what God has for me that day, eager to get into His Word, see what He wants to reveal to me that day, see what He wants to work out of me that day. Where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do, how God is going to use me. And I begin to write. Sometimes I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm writing down the things that the Lord speaks to me. And I've got a book full of stuff that He's been speaking to me, and some of it's very, very personal. And some of it is not really all that relevant to, you know, but to me it means something because God gave it to me. Scriptures are coming alive. There's just phrases like the one to Him. Just really jumps out at me. There is a place in God that He wants to take us. But are we willing to follow? Are we willing to follow? We say, oh, I want you, Lord. I want what you have. But Lord, you give it to me like I want it. You give it to me on my time. You give it to me whenever you want me to have it. But you know, time, as we look at it, is man's invention. And you ask somebody if to do something, well, I don't have time. I don't have time. You ask them to do a responsibility, well, I'll call so-and-so if I have time. Or if I get time, I'll get around to it, I'll do it. Sometimes those are lame excuses that we use. What is important to us, we make time for. What is important, ladies, you will make time for. if serving the Lord and coming into His presence is important for you, you'll make time for it if you have to get up an hour early. You might say, well, I have a job to go to. I have to work. I don't have time to read my Bible like I should. I don't have time to spend with the Lord like I should. Some of the very best times I have with the Lord are when I'm in the bathroom. And there's no interference. There's nothing in there. If we look for a quiet time and a quiet place to spend with Him, He'll give it to us. And He wants to reveal Himself to us in ways that we have never experienced before. I'm on that journey right now. This praise and worship that we're doing here now is totally different for me. Totally unusual for me. And I think I have to have it all laid out. We're going to do this, 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 this. And sometimes I would vary from that. But I had about four songs this morning. And the one that we sang that the Lord ministered to us, I Want More of You, came about 5 minutes before the service started this morning. Came to me. And the Lord gave it to me and I wrote it down. And I said, and then when I got to the piano, we had prayed earlier. The group had prayed. And I was just here. I don't know. I wasn't there. I was here. But I was there too. And it's like that I'm walking with you. But there's a place up here that I'm walking into. It's a place I've never been before. It's a higher place. And God wants to bring all of us into a higher place. I'm not in the highest place I can get. One lady told me that during the worship this morning that she saw it was like a staircase coming down. And there was water coming down this staircase. And she could hear. She said, I heard the water coming down the staircase. And she says, we were climbing that staircase. And we were moving up in God to a higher place. And that's where He wants us, ladies, is in a higher place. Because we know that there are all kinds of things going on in the world. We know that evildoers are going to wax worse and worse in the last days. And if we're not full of the Holy Ghost, and if we're not prayed up, we're going to miss what God has for us to do. And He has work for us to do. I want to tell you about an experience. My experience I had, it actually began in the last camp meeting, in family camp. And we came out of a church to come here. Wasn't really anything wrong, was going on or anything like that. And the Lord spoke to me. And I had mentioned it to my friend Diane back there. And I said, the Lord told us to go back to such and such a place. She said, I believe that's right. You know, and she said, I think that's what you're supposed to do. Well, she'd been in that other place with me, and I thought, oh, no, I got to tell Diane I'm going to this place. But, you know, she confirmed that. The Lord further spoke to me, and He said, you are to go there. You are to sit and learn and listen and keep my mouth shut about the things that He was sharing with me and things He wanted for me to do. See, when you're so busy talking all the time, you can't hear God because you're doing the talking. You're not letting Him do the talking. So, I thought, okay, I don't want to go over there. I don't want to go over there, Lord. You know I don't want to go over there. There's nothing over there for me. Why should I go? Well, I get up and I go over there. And I have a way of being belligerent at times. I have a way of pouting, you know, not really. I was kind of mad at God over this whole thing because I didn't want to go. And before I knew what had happened the first night I went there, I said, I'm not here because I want to be. I have a bluntness about me, too. I guess you'll find that out, too. And I said, the Lord told me to come over here and sit and learn and listen and be quiet. And I said, I didn't come over here to do praise and worship. I didn't come over here to do anything with music. But here I am. If you can put up with me, here I am. I sat down. I sat there. The worship went on and totally different from anything I'd ever seen. It went on. I thought, this is not of God. This is a bunch of Jezebels over here. I'm going to straighten them out before I leave here. Have you ever felt that way, that everybody else was wrong and that you were right? But guess who was a Jezebel? But I kept going. I kept going back. And I just sat there. I'd go in the service and they would be up worshiping the Lord and moving around doing different things. I just sat there. I didn't feel nothing because I didn't want to feel nothing. You know, sometimes we have to put forth an effort to come into the presence of God. Sometimes we have to be willing to make the old flesh behave and sit down and so we can go on in the spirit realm with Him. So this went on, and it kept bothering me, and I was still kind of to get a little bit hungry for the Word, and beginning to kind of, you know, after you've been saved for 100 years like I have, or almost 100 years, you know, you get lax. And you say, well, I know that scripture. I know all the deliverance scriptures. I know all the salvation scriptures. I know all the baptism of the Holy Spirit scriptures. There's not anything new in the Word of God for me. I mean, we may not say that, but you know, I can remember a time early on in my Christian experience when I had a very strong worship life with the Lord and in the Word. And, you know, it wasn't unusual for me to pray 30 minutes for a church, you know, for a particular church. But through the years, it did just kind of left that all off, and I'd retired, and, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to travel in our trailer. I'm going to go places, and the Lord's going to use us to witness. We're going to lead people to the Lord. Pipe dreams. The trailer sat here for 2 or 3 years. We didn't use it that much. We finally sold it. I've yet to get out and go here, there, and yonder for the Lord. But anyhow, back to my experience with the Lord. So it just kind of, there was a different type of church. There was no pulpit. There was a replica of the ark that was there, the cherubims up over the ark. There was the altar of incense out in front. And there was a painting of a huge throne chair. And on the throne chair, on one side, there hung the crown of thorns. And down at the base of this, there was a silver crown, and it was full of jewels, and you know the crown of thorns is ugly. But this was a beautiful, beautiful crown, silver, signifying redemption. So I called the lady that was she and her husband were co-pastors, and I said, what are you doing this afternoon? She said, well, not anything. I said, would you meet me at the church about 2 o'clock? I want to know what all this stuff is you've got in this church. You know, still, you know, it's strange how God does things for us in spite of ourselves, isn't it? Seems like I fight Him all the way on everything He wants to do for me. And I, Lord, don't let me be that way. Let me be ready to embrace what You have. Because what I have done amount to a hill of beans. It's all about Him. It's not about me. And so, she met me. She said, pull your chair out here in the middle. So we pulled her two chairs out in the middle, and I got to looking at this throne chair. I looked at that thing, and I looked at it, and I looked at it. I said, that's awesome. I kept looking. She was explaining the different things and how that the Lord had given her, you know, what to put where and when it happened. And I just kept looking at the chair. I said, you know, I feel peace. I feel peace in this place. With this chair. Now, I'd been there before, and I got up and got out of there. Because, I mean, I'd have bolted and run. I wanted to a time or two when I was sitting there puffed up. I was mad at God because He'd sent me there. I didn't want to go. But sometimes the places that we don't want to go are the places where God uses us the most and blesses us the most. And so I sat there. So the next afternoon, I was on my way over to the meeting on Friday night, and I was crying before the Lord. I said, God, please take me out of this box I'm in. Please take me out. God, take me out of this box. I don't think I can stand this box anymore. Take me out of here, Lord. Take me out. Well, I just thought, you know, that's just, you know, sometimes when you just wander on with the Lord, you just get to praying in the Spirit, and you get to doing all these things. I thought to myself, This is crazy. Why even go over there at that place? Why do you want to go for? Well, the Lord told me to go, so I'm going. I'm being obedient, you know. But inside, I was still rebellious. And so I knew when I walked in that I had to sit where I could see that chair. I wanted to see that chair again. I wanted to see that chair. So I get off over to the side, and I sit where I can look at the chair. Well, I look at the chair. And it's got the altar out in front of it and the labors out in front. And I keep looking. And they go on with worship and warfare, and they start their what they're doing. I'm still looking at the chair. Finally, I shut my eyes, and I just enjoying the presence of the Lord. I opened my eyes and looked, and there was a mist that began to roll up from the ends of it. the cherubims. There was a mist that began to roll up from the sides, began to roll up, and it rolled up and rolled up and rolled up and rolled up. And I thought, my glasses are dirty. So I get my shirt tail out and I wipe my glasses off. And I look again. And here's this mist that keeps rolling up. It keeps rolling, 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 rolling. And it gets up about the top of the wings and it dissipates and it's gone. Here it comes again. Here, I'm in awe. I shut my eyes. I thought, I'm seeing things. Well, I was, but you know. I thought, every time I'd open my eyes, here this thing was just rolling and rolling. So I just got to where I just sat there and watched it. Just watched it roll up from around the ark. The holiness of God, His glory. I was seeing His glory. And I didn't realize what it was. So the service was about over. I'm still sitting there watching it. Here it goes. Here it goes. So the lady that's in charge came over. She sat down and she started talking to me. And I visited with her. But all the time I was seeing this stuff roll up. So she said, well, there's some more people over there. Let's go over where those guys are. So we went over there. And here I am with my head turned, still looking. And here it is. It's still rolling up from the ends and from the sides. Finally somebody looked at me and they said, what do you see? Are you seeing something? I said, I sure am. So I began to explain what I have seen, what I was seeing. And I said, don't you see it? Don't you see it? Don't you see it? We don't see anything. I said, there it goes again. Don't you see it? They kept looking. They kept looking. No one saw that but me. And I thought, all right, so I've seen something. I've had a visitation from the Lord. So I didn't think anything about it. I went home, and next morning I got up. I got in, picked up my Bible at 4:30 in the morning. I started reading, and I started writing down just as fast as I could. And things that the Lord told me in the next couple of weeks, I would pick up a book 2 or 3 days later, and the very same thing that He had told me that I had written down would be confirmed in a book over here. I would go to a service, and somebody would confirm it. Even now, we worship regularly in a Baptist church, and I would hear that they would use the same scripture as the one the Lord had ministered to me 2 or 3 days before. It was almost like that I was seeing beforehand what was going to happen. And I was seeing into a prophetic realm, into a realm I'd never been in before. But I like it there. And I thought, well, you know, this is the way it is, you know. And there was such a glow. The Lord put such a glow on me. People would say, I'd walk into the church and they'd say, you're different. What happened to you? I went to my Baptist pastor and I began to share with him what the Lord had shown me. I began to share with him the things that the Lord had given me that I had written down. And I said, am I crazy? He said, oh no. He said, it's wonderful that you've written this down so you can remember it. And I said, have you ever experienced anything like that? And he said, one time. And so, you know, I thought, well, here I am. Working in 3 different places. I'm here during camp meetings. I'm in the Baptist church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night, and Monday morning, Monday night, and Wednesday night. Then I'm in another church Tuesday and Friday night. I think, God, what are you doing? You're stretching me. You're stretching me. But the pastor in the Baptist church paid me a compliment. He said, the spiritual atmosphere in this church has changed since you've come here. And to whom much is given, much is required. Ladies, there's going to be much required of us in the days ahead. There's going to be much required of us because we've been given much. You are accountable now for the things that have happened to you this weekend. You are accountable for the deliverance that you've received this weekend. You are accountable to go with it. Your deliverance will only work for you if you work with the deliverance. If you go home and say, oh, I've been delivered, and you go back into the same old slop you came out of, guess what? You're going to get sloppy all again. If you go back into that pig pen, you're going to be the same thing. You can be here and here at the same time. I know that. I'm not even conscious a lot. During the praise and worship, I'm not even conscious of anybody out in the audience. I don't even know what's going on. And I don't really care. Because I feel like the Lord is moving us into a higher place in Him. All of us. He's moving us up in a notch. I'm tired of going to church and doing the same old thing in the same old way all the time. If we do that, guess what? We get the same old results. Is it any wonder that our churches are dead? Is it any wonder that our lives are powerless? When you stop and you think about it, there is so much more out there that God wants us to have. So much more that He wants us to receive. So much more that He has for us, but we're too busy to sit and learn and listen and shut up. We're too busy telling God what we want. When you pray, do you tell the Lord, I want this, I want that, I want something else. Now, Lord, you know I need so-and-so. Now, Lord, you know I need finances. Lord, you know I need this, I need that, I need something else. Instead of thanking Him for what He's already done, instead of just saying, Lord, I just want to be in Your presence. I want more of You, Lord, and less of me. When a group gets in that atmosphere, we can see healings. We can see deliverances. We can see people set free. We can see bondages broken. And man won't have to do one thing because God will do it all. You won't have to come up and ask for deliverance. God will deliver you right there. You don't have to come up and ask for prayer for healing because you'll be healed just that fast. When we get under the anointing and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, these things can happen. And I think that's what happened in the early church, that many signs and wonders. It says the signs and wonders will follow the believers. It said we can do all these things. We can cast out devils. We can speak with new tongues. But the signs will follow the believers. I think we've got that backwards. How many people do we know that go to a prophet or to a place where, oh, such and such a prophet, he's going to speak. I'm going to go see if he's got a word for me. I want so-and-so to pray for me. They prayed for my grandma and she was healed. See where I'm coming from? It's not the person. It's not you. It's not me. But it's God and the Spirit of God that does these things. We can't do them ourselves. Now, we can conjure up something. I can go over there and conjure up something and get some hype going on that piano and get you all up shouting, praising, and carrying on. But if God's not in it, it's not worth a flip, is it? But the awesome presence of God will change us. Clement Humboldt has a book over there called The Shekinah Glory. And you need to read that book. It's a wonderful book if you haven't read it. But this morning, I was looking at some things, and I think one of the first scriptures that's very common that we all know is the first commandment, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants all of our attention. He wants all of us. He doesn't want a part of us. He wants all of us. He wants our mind. He wants our body. He wants everything that we do to bring honor and glory to Him. And you know, when we get in a place where that we have no peace, where are we out of the will of God? What did we miss? Was there something there, God, that I should have done that I didn't do? Or God, did you move on me in a certain way and I missed you? Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Give me another chance. And He's the God of second chances. He'll give you a chance to get it right. He will. But the thing about it is, when we have these other things that stand between us and the Lord, some people say, oh, I got to cook my lunch for my kids today. They're coming today. So I'm going to miss church today. I'm going to stay home and cook for my kids. Well, fiddle on the kids. Let them fast. You know, and get it up and get up and get ready and get it over with. A lot of times we get ourselves in a jam because we don't prepare. Because we don't make the preparation that's necessary. What would happen if Patty waited till the day of camp meeting to decide what we were going to eat and she started cooking the day of camp meeting? It would be a mess. But see, they go in ahead of time and prepare. I heard Sandy asking her the other night, well, what are we going to have? What's the menu for the ministers' conference? So Sandy's already ahead trying to find out what we're going to eat, making a plan for what we're going to eat. We make plans, but if our plans don't include God, they're not much of a plan, are they? And so, but anyhow, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then I was over in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6, and there's some things in there I want us to look at. This may come kind of scattered, but anyhow, I think it'll be a blessing to us when we look at it. I'm in 1 Samuel. We'll go back there in a minute. Is the Lord blessing you this camp meeting? Amen. All right. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, behold, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. I'm in chapter 5. I'm in the wrong place yet. Here we go. And David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And he arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baalah, Judah, Kirjath-Jearim, to bring up from there the ark of God, which was called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned above the cherubims. I saw the ark, didn't I? And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, with the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled and shook it. This, to me, is a picture of the church today. When you stop and you think about it, we go out and we're calling ourselves Christians, and we're calling on the name of the Lord. The ark is called the name of the Lord, and we use our church maybe to represent our ark, the place where we meet with God. And we think that we've got everything going just right, that we're doing a good job. We have the wonderful singing. We praise the Lord on all the instruments. And so they came to the threshing floor. Now, I remember back in the story of Gideon, how that he was, instead of being on the threshing floor where he was supposed to be, he was in hiding when he was threshing wheat to keep the Midianites from getting it when the Lord came to him. But they were at the threshing floor, and usually there was quite a celebration when they began to thresh the wheat and things. They had a real celebration. And so he put out his hand to the ark of God to take hold of it. Many times, here we are as profane, and here we are full of sin in our lives, and we want to take hold of the holy things of God. We want God to bless what we're doing. We've seen it in churches where the leadership is in sin. We've seen it in maybe the praise and worship leaders are in sin. And they try to take hold of the holy things of God. Sure, there was singing. There was the musical instruments. They were having a high old time. But the oxen stumbled and shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, for God smote him there for touching the ark, and he died there by the ark. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? Now, I want you to look what the man of God, what happened to him. David was grieved and offended because the Lord had broken forth upon Uzzah. Have you ever been offended at God? All right. I was kind of that way before I went where he told me to go. And he was grieved and offended because the Lord has broken forth upon Uzzah. Grieved and offended at God. And his anger wasn't just an instant thing. I mean, he just didn't repent. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. This had to go on for quite a while that he was angry with the Lord. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" Whoa. He recognizes that he's sinned, doesn't he? Whenever he says that he was grieved and offended at the Lord, he recognizes this. So he was not willing to take the ark of the Lord into the city of David. If he had took that ark in, it would have called for him to repent at that point. And he didn't want to repent. Many times we want to do things our own way. We want to do things the way we see that it ought to be done. We want to straighten out the Lord. We want to straighten out the people that he puts in charge of us. And so he took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Now, this thing started out right. This Ahio means his brother. Uzzah means my strength. Now, Uzzah was the one that reached out to the ark, and he's the one that died by the ark. My strength died. When you're out of the will of God, you don't have any strength, do you? You have no strength at all when you're out of God's will. So the praise and worship went well. Everyone was participating. All the house of Israel was participating. And when we put our hand on the holy things of God and things he wants to do, we taint the anointing. We tainted it. It can't come forth in the way that it needs to come forth. They could have taken this ark and it could have taken it right on into their, back into the Canaan, and it should really would have been a blessing to the people there. And so, when God brings correction, God gets, when man brings, God brings correction, man gets fearful. David was afraid. He was afraid. And so, he was afraid of what was going to happen. Now, the ark represented the presence of God. And so, it remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. For 3 months, David was still mad at God. And you know, when the presence of the Lord is, He's going to bless people. He's going to bless you when you're in His presence. He's going to, it didn't matter that this was a heathen. The presence of the Lord blessed him because it was there. It was there for 3 months. It blessed him and his whole household. So somebody comes up to David and they said, David, the Lord's blessed Obed-Edom and all that he has because of the ark of the Lord. Have you ever been jealous of another Christian and think that the Lord has blessed them more than he has you? Have you ever been jealous of somebody else's talents or somebody else's abilities and things that he's done for him? Oh, I wish I could teach like Carla. I wish I could do this like so-and-so. I wish I could pray like so-and-so. This is what's happening here. But so, it says, David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with rejoicing. When you get right with God, it will make you rejoice. Amen. And you may think you're right, and you may think that you've got everything right. Well, I've had the Holy Ghost since 1963. There wasn't nothing wrong with my experience in the Lord. You know, it says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. And we want things the way we're used to them being. We're accustomed to things running a certain way, even in our churches, even in this place. And I think I've said this before, that I can pretty well look and see Carla's going to sit over here on this side if she gets a chance. Jerry McGee's right up here usually. And Louise is going to be on the back there. And usually she's going to have Linda and Bernadine back there with her. We're just pretty much creatures of habit, aren't we? What about our churches? How many times do you hear people say, well, that's not our custom here. We don't do things like that. And a lot of the customs and things we have, we've carried on from generation, the traditions of men, and sometimes they may not even have any scriptural basis for them because we've always done it that way. You've heard the story about how that the woman had this turkey and she's going to put it in the pan, and the pan was a little bit large, and so she cut part of the turkey off, the bottom end of the turkey off. Well, her daughter goes along, she gets grown, she cuts the bottom end of the turkey off. Then the granddaughter comes along, she cuts the bottom end of the turkey off. Finally, somebody says, well, why'd you cut the bottom of that turkey off? She said, because that's the way we've always done it. And we are so content and happy to do things the way that we've always done it. When you get up in the morning, you have a routine that you follow. You do the same thing day after day after day. You may get up and brush your teeth and comb your hair and go grab a cup of coffee. You may get up and grab a cup of coffee and hit the shower. But you have a routine and a thing, that way that you do things every day. We are such creatures of habit, but God is wanting to break us free. God is wanting to break us free so that we can be like King David in the end of this story. In the end of this story. So David goes and he gets the ark. It says, and those who had bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, and they sacrificed an ox and a fatling. So they walk over here 6, and they have a sacrifice. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. Whew! Think about it. With shouting and sound of trumpet. Oh, when the presence of the Lord comes, you mean, Jane, it's okay to shout? When the anointing falls in a place, is it okay to shout? Yes. If you don't have a trumpet, you can make yourself one. Do, 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 do. You make yourself a trumpet. Be a trumpet to the Lord. You know, but enjoy His presence. Because He delights in His people. He delights in us, ladies. He delights in us. We're a peculiar treasure to Him. He delights in us. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour Himself into us so that we can enlarge ourselves and be something more than what we've been in the Lord. Now, there's always somebody going to put a wet blanket on you. Well, you better not go with that place. That's witchcraft in that place. I think if we look at it, we'll find a little witchcraft in every church and probably everyone that teaches or stands up to preach or something like that. We can find that if we want to. It's there. So she looks out the window and she says, there's my husband out there. What in the world? And I paraphrase a lot. But what in the world is wrong with him? Ew. I've never seen anybody act like that. Ew. What's wrong with him makes him want to act like that? David was full of the joy and the presence of the Lord. Are you full of the joy and presence of the Lord? Sometimes I'm thankful because I'm behind the piano, so I don't have to get up and dance. I had a dream not long ago. I have prayed and asked the Lord to give me dreams and visions because, he says in His Word that we could do that. So we'd taken our little granddaughter and her mother to the Little Rock to the ophthalmologist. It's a week ago, it'll be almost 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago tomorrow. And we hadn't slept much the night before. I don't know what was the matter. We just had those nights, senior nights that you don't sleep much. And we hadn't slept much. It's 3 o'clock, and we both still just wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I told my husband, I said, I think I'm going out to the car and take a nap. Because it was cool, and I went out there and just rolled the windows down and went to sleep. Well, I had a dream. And it was neat, too. But in this dream, I was there were several tables. These were the little tables that are 8 feet long. They're about this wide. They use in a lot of classrooms and things. And I was sitting behind one of these, and there was a lady over on the right side of me, which is over here. And I said, you've got to move and let me out. I said, I've got to go. And she let me out, and about the time I came around the corner of that table, I screamed, oh, no, here I go, just like that. And I began twirling, and I began dancing before the Lord. Now, that hasn't come to pass yet, but everything that has happened to me in the last couple of weeks, It's just from one thing to another, just from one blessing to another. Back to my dream, and I'll get back to this in a minute. But what the Lord had done. I didn't realize what the Lord was doing for me. I still don't realize to the fullest what He's doing for me. I can't get enough of God. I can't get enough. I can't get enough. There's more there. I want more. I want more. I want more of Him. I want more. More of His presence. More of His anointing. More of what He has to give me. And it just... I had no idea when I came this time. I wanted to come to camp meeting, but yet I didn't. I had no idea of what God was going to do with the worship in this place. It's new to me. It's different for me. I don't understand it. And then I said, why me, Lord? Why did you choose me? Why did you choose me? Why did you choose to give me a visitation of your Spirit at this time in my life? Why did you choose me? But, oh no, here I go. And I mean, I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know what God's going to do. I have no idea. But I want to embrace every new move of God that I possibly can. I want to climb up a little higher. I want to come up another rung on that staircase. I want to keep reaching up towards Him, towards His presence, towards His anointing. I don't know if you can tell it or not, but I am a changed person. Those of you that know me, I feel like I got saved. I mean, and it is here. I am full, clear up to here. And it's been that way for, I don't know, 3 weeks. Three weeks ago last night, it's been that way. Just here. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Can't you see the glory rolling up? And it touched me. It touched me. And God wants to touch all of us. He doesn't want us staying the same. He doesn't want our experience in Him to become dull. He doesn't want it to become ineffective. And it says that the ark of the Lord came in the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. When you mix the holy in with the profane, then you're going to end up in trouble every time. Well, David was still having a good time. He's still out here dancing, worshiping the Lord. And so they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in his place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. He blessed the people. Bless you, people. I bless you. I bless you. I bless everything about you. And then he, in the presence of the Lord. And you know, that's kind of what the Lord does for us when we come into his presence. He pours blessing, blessing, blessing on us. The awesome presence of the Lord brings blessing in our lives. So, they had communion after that. Look what they did. He distributed to all the people. Now, there was 30,000 men that went. And think about how many, probably women and children. I can see the little children coming and just coming right in behind. And you know, a child doesn't think anything about dancing around and having a good time, you know, in the natural, and they're full of pep and energy. Why don't we get some energy in the spirit? Why aren't we energetic, and why aren't we twirling? And inside, I may be behind that piano, but I'm going round and round and round. I'm having a good time. But he distributed among the people, to the men and the women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. So they had a meal together in the communion together, and then they left and went to their own houses. Well, the Lord sure did bless. Now it's time for me to go home and get back in my mess. Have you ever said that? Come to a meeting and you get really blessed? I sure do hate to go home and get back in that old mess I came out of. David went back home into a mess. And said he returned to bless his household. So he blessed all the people in their houses. So he goes home. And his wife comes out to meet him. She says, "How glorious was the king of Israel today. He stripped himself of his kingly robes and uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants. Himself in servants' maids, and as one of the worthless fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself." Now if that wouldn't put a wrinkle in your dress, I don't know what would. When you stop and think about it, here he'd been in the presence of the Lord, and he goes home and she does everything she can to discourage him. The devil will take every means he can to steal what God does for you. He will take the anointing from you. He will steal it from you. But the greater one lives in you, and you don't have to give it to him. You don't have to. The Bible says, give place no more to the devil. Now look what his answer was. It was before the Lord. Now, if we are doing things to be seen of men, if we're up in the flesh, so to speak, wanting people to see us and wanting people to bless us and want to be seen, look at me, look at me, look at me, you're in the wrong spirit. In the wrong spirit. But then on the other hand, there are people that are afraid to get up and do something because they'll say, "Well, I don't want to be in the flesh." You're a flesh being, aren't you? Sometimes we're afraid, aren't we? We're like David. We're fearful. He was afraid of the presence of the Lord. Are we afraid of the presence of the Lord sometimes? Well, I don't want to make a spectacle of myself. Well, now, if you saw the king coming around here and he's running around naked almost, and he doesn't have his kingly robe on and he's out there in the street dancing, you couldn't ask for much more of a spectacle than that, could you? Are we willing to abandon ourselves to the ridicule of other people in our worship? Are we willing to not care what other people are saying, what other people think about us? And he said, it was before the Lord. He chose me above your father and all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. See, she would have stripped him if she could have. Saul would strip him if he could. And he says, therefore will I make merry in pure enjoyment before the Lord. Pure enjoyment before the Lord. And I'll tell you, I don't know when I've ever enjoyed camp meeting like I'm enjoying it this time. I am having pure enjoyment before the Lord. I am just having myself one more time. Here it comes. You know, it's still rolling up. Been 3 weeks. Lord, I don't want it to ever leave. I want more. And he said, I will be still more lightly esteemed than this, and will humble and lower myself in my own sight and yours. But by the maids you mentioned, I will be held in honor. And look what happened to her. She had no child until the day of her death. When we despise the things of God and the moving of God, it could leave us barren spiritually when you stop and think about it. It could leave us in a place where it's going to be hard for us to reach in the presence of God. But until the day that she died, she had no child. She had no fruit. And He wants us to be fruitful, ladies. He wants us to be fruitful so that we can bear fruit unto Him. And it was really a blessing to see what God is doing in this place. We're going to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. This place is going to become a fruitful place. It's going to become a place that's set aside for people to come, to have needs met. It's going to be a place that God's put His stamp on. He says, these are my people. And many times we thought, because Brother Glenn is no longer with us, well, that camp's going to die. You know, the camp can't go on like it is. If God wants this camp to continue, it will continue until the late day Jesus returns. He may change some of the things that we've always thought. He may change you, and He'll change me too. He's not through. I think in Scripture it says, from glory to glory, He's changing me. When in His image and likeness, with the light of the world can see. Get a hold of the deep things of God. He wants to take us deeper. Now, it's going to be strange how we can go deeper and higher at the same time, isn't it? When you stop and think about it. You dig deeper into the things of God. Draw water out of the wells of salvation. Ascend into the high places with Him. In the natural, the earth is not the same terrain, is it? We have mountains, we have valleys, we have rivers, we have oceans. But, you know, when there's a flood, when a flood comes, and it takes all this debris and stuff down the river with it. We know we've seen there's a lot of destruction that has come, too, from the flooding that we've seen in our nation. But it cleans that river channel out. And it moves things from place to place. What about your channel? Are you full of dead wood? Are you clogged up where you can't hear God? Are you full of bitterness? Full of anger? Full of strife? Full of disappointment? God wants to get rid of those things today so that His river can flow, will be a pure river flowing out of you. He wants pureness in His people. He wants holiness in His people. The Word says, without holiness, no man will see God. We can be holy in our spirit, but it has to manifest itself in our body, doesn't it? In everything that we do, people are watching us. If we could see into the heavenlies and know what the enemy is doing for us, he wants to come against us. He's sitting up there. One night, I was sitting in a service, and I saw two vultures. And, you know, I don't know if you know what a vulture is. Kind of like an old buzzard. Ugly, ugly, ugly character. And one was on this side, and one was on this side of my shoulder. One said doubt on him, and the other one said suspicion on him. Now, if that won't get you moving downhill, you get full of doubt and you get full of suspicion. Suspicious of everybody around you. Suspicious. Is this God? Is this not God? Doubt. Well, I doubt that that happened. I doubt that that would happen here. See what that does to you? That brings you down into a place. And so, you know, God wants us to get rid of all of our doubts, of all of our suspicions. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace because we have access to Him. And I want to go back over into Judges somewhere. This is a different story. So I'm doing two little teachings at the same time. I believe it's Judges that I want to go to. The Old Testament is so full of things that just really, really gives us a picture of things in the Old Testament. It gives us a picture of ourselves, too. Now I'm going to go back over to 1 Samuel. That's where I want to go. We're still going to talk about the ark a little bit more. You remember that when God brought the children of Israel out, He told them to clean out the land. And they didn't totally clean out the land. And so there was a battle that was going on. And so in chapter 4, it says Israel went out to battle against the, in verse 2, against the Philistines, and encamped, besides Ebenezer, the Philistines encamped at Aphek. And so it went on, it says, and so in verse 2 it says that the Israel was smitten by the Philistines. It slew about 4,000 men on the battlefield. So Israel was leading, losing the battle. And look what happens. The elders of the troop says, well, why is the Lord smitten us today? What do you say? Well, why has this happened to me? Why has all this bad stuff happened to me? Why is it happening to me? I know what we do. I'll go over and get, I'll get Danica to pray for me. She can touch God. She'll pray for me. We always want to call somebody that we think has a little more in with God than what we have to pray for us. He said, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant and let's get it in Shiloh and let's bring it here. And he said, the Ark of the Covenant is going to save us. How many times do we think somebody else's experience is going to get us where we need to go? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have someone pray in agreement with you, but many times we want, we'll call on them and we'll draw from them and we'll pull out the anointing from them. And speakers that speak here at this camp find that a lot, of where that someone will come up to them after a service, I want you to pray for me. And they'll just pull out of them, and it takes it out of you whenever you have to give out like that. And so he's going to save them from their enemies. If they can get in touch with the Ark, he's going to save them. So they, people sent to Shiloh and brought from there the Ark of the Covenant of the host, out of the hosts of Lord of Hosts. And Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were with the Ark of the Covenant. Now Eli was the priest in Egypt, I mean of Israel, and he knew better than to let this Ark go. But you've got to remember that Eli raised two sons that were not godly. And they were taking part of the sacrifice that was supposed to be the, sent to the Lord, and they were taking the best for themselves. And Samuel saw this. The boy Samuel saw this, and he finally came and told him. And But Eli wasn't a very good father. He hadn't raised his children in the way that he should have raised them, because they should have known better than do the things that they should have done. And so they got the Ark of the Covenant, and they went into the camp, and boy, everybody saw it, and they began to shout, have a happy hooray time. The Ark of the Lord is here. The Ark, the presence of God is here. We're going to win this now. I know we're victorious. And so when the Philistines heard it, when the enemy heard the shout, they said, well, what does all this mean over there in the Hebrew camp? And they said, oh, so the Ark of God has come over there. And the Philistines were afraid. You know, a lot of times people that are not saved are afraid of the holy things of God. You remember the first time you went to a church where the Spirit of God was really moving and manifesting Himself? It's kind of scary, isn't it? Get out of that witchy place. And so, but the Philistines said, and they said, oh, woe is us. Said, for such a thing has not ever happened before. We're done. We're done in. And said, who's going to deliver us out of the hands of these? Because their God is with him. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians. These are from the plagues in the wilderness. We've heard about them. And so, here comes the word to them. It said, oh, be strong and acquit yourselves like men. Oh, you Philistines, that you may not become servants to the Hebrews as they've been unto you. Behave yourselves like men and fight. So you think the devil is not a fighter? What does he tell us sometimes? He says, quit acting like that. You rise up, you take control of the situation. Don't you let that man of yours get the last word in. You get the last word in. You tell him exactly what you think. Don't you let that child run over you. You tell him exactly what you think. You tell him where to go, how to get there. And he says, that's what the devil will tell us. He will tell us all those things. So we go back to battle the next day. You know, when the kings went to battle, it was kind of strange how they would battle. They would get on one mountain, and some of them get over on another mountain usually, and then they'd fight all day long, and then at night they'd all go to bed, and they could see their enemies over there, but then the next morning they'd get up and they'd go back and fight again. And so it says that the Philistines fought. Now look what happened. Israel was smitten. Israel lost the battle. You cannot get by on someone else's experience. You cannot get by on your own experience from yesterday. Remember that when they went forth from place to place, that when the ark moved, then the children moved. And when the ark stayed, then they didn't move. Yesterday's experience is not good enough. You need new, fresh manna every day. And so there was a very great slaughter, and 30,000 foot soldiers fell. Not only did they lose the battle, but look what else was happened. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Now, if you allow your experience to lag, to begin to lag and begin to grow cold, then the enemy has more access to you, and he can come into you, and he can really control you. And so we cannot count on what once was. We cannot count on yesterday's experience. We can't say, and I've heard a lot of people stand and testify, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit 35 years. And the Lord answered prayer for me one time. I want to look at that person and say, what's God doing for you today? What has He done for you today? What's new and fresh? Are you living in yesterday's experience? Are you living in the experience that, oh, the ark went before us and God drove out the enemies in front of us? But what had happened was that the ark was taken and the presence of the Lord was gone from Israel at that time. So what happened was that a man of Benjamin, one of the tribes, went back to Shiloh and with his clothes all torn, and Eli was sitting by the side of the road watching. Now, Eli was a big old fat man, and he was heavy. And he probably had indulged himself in the sacrifices in the tabernacle many, many days. And he wasn't in control of his own life, much less in control of his sons. And when he told the news in the city, everybody cried out. And Eli heard it, and he said, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. Eli was an old man. He was 98 years old when all of this happened. And he said, well, I fled from the battle today. I got away from the battle. He said, well, how'd it go? He said, well, there's been a great slaughter today, and said, your two sons were killed, and the ark of God has been captured. Now, watch this. And when he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate. Eli was more concerned about the ark being taken than he was his two sons being killed, which meant that he should have been guarding the holy thing. Do you guard the holy thing that God has done in you? His neck was broken and he was died, for he was an old man and he was heavy. And he judged Israel for 40 years. Now, that's bad enough. But look what else happened. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and was about time for her to be delivered. And when she heard that the ark had been taken and that her father-in-law was dead and her husband was dead, she went into labor, and when she gave birth, she died in childbirth. And she brought this baby forth, and she named him Ichabod. Ichabod. The glory has departed, because God and the ark had been captured, and the glory was gone from Israel. What about your life? Is the glory gone from your life today? Are you still full of the glory of the Lord? Are you still full of His presence? Are you in the place where He wants you to be? Did you come here desperate? Has God met your needs since you've been here? We've still got the rest of today and tonight and tomorrow for God to meet your needs. Don't leave here. And if you need to stay after camp meeting, I'm sure there's some people that will be here to pray for you for a while after camp meeting. But the glory has departed. Has the glory of God departed from your life? Are you as enthusiastic about what God has done in your life and what He's doing in your life? So many times we don't have a testimony because God hadn't done anything new in us. Many times we don't want anything new. We're content. We're satisfied. It has been a hard job for Eli to discipline his kids. Raising kids is not fun. Raising us, God doesn't have a good time sometimes either, because we're His kids, we're His children. But the glory has departed. The glory has departed. I remember a time in my life many, many years ago when I had backslid, and my husband wasn't serving the Lord, and I thought, well, it's easier just to go on, you know, and this stuff is okay for some people, but not me. But the fear came on me. I was afraid to go to sleep at night. I was afraid to get up in the morning, afraid to go to work, afraid to have a car wreck. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house burned one night. I made my husband sit up all night because we heated with a wood stove and their house caught fire from a wood stove. And I was afraid to go to bed. Afraid for that. And when I came back to the Lord, it was almost like God wanted to prove me. And it was a year before I really felt the presence of the Lord, because the glory had departed from my life. And God wanted me, I think He was testing me and proving me to see if I really meant what I said when I said I wanted Him back in my life. And from that moment until this, I've had some bumpy places in my life, but I've never went back on the things of God. I've never denied, I didn't really deny Him. I just set Him aside. I had other gods before Him. And there was no glory in my life. And that's a bad place to be when there's no glory in your life. But God wants to fill us with His glory. He wants it to come rolling, rolling, rolling into our lives. He's a good God. He gives good gifts to His children. I don't know where you are spiritually today. I don't know what your needs are from the Lord. But He knows every need that you have. And He's concerned about you, because He counted every hair on your head. And there's another story that's told about the ark that's kind of interesting. I'm not real sure where that one's at. But it was taken captive by the Philistines another time. And it's in Judges somewhere, I'm thinking. But it was taken captive another time by the Philistines. And the people didn't want to keep it because it caused them, it brought them a lot of plagues and stuff. They had mice that came out and bit them. And it was really kind of, and then they were struck with hemorrhoids. And so whenever they decided they were going to send this thing back, they said, well, we got to get rid of this thing. What are we going to do? How are we going to get it back over there? You know, you really don't know what to do with the holy things of God sometimes, do you? So we got to get rid of this thing. So what are they going to do? Well, they decided they would hook two milk cows to it and they'd turn it loose. And so they hooked two milk cows to it and they turned it loose. And if it goes to a certain way, then we'll know it'll be okay. But if it goes another way, it's not. So they decided that they had to put some, they made some golden mice and some golden hemorrhoids. They didn't want to send it back over there empty. So they put those things down beside of it and sent them back over there with that. But it did go back into the, but it seems like that the glory or the ark of God kept moving. It would always, it may have gotten captured, but it would always be returned to them. I don't know where that story's at, but it's in there somewhere. But you might look it up. Patty didn't give me enough time to look up much. But the thing about it is that God wants the glory in your lives, in my life. He wants us full of His glory. He wants us full of the overflowing of the Spirit. We can run our mouths all we want to. We can talk about what fine Christians we are. But if people don't see it in our lives, what do we have? If they don't see it, what do we have? We need to pray that God will empower us with His glory and entrust us with it. You know, God knows who He can trust. He said He wouldn't give His glory to another. He wouldn't give it to another. And, you know, some people would like to make a camp out of this and take out and run out with the glory of God. Oh, I've got the glory of God. I've got this. I've got that. That's not what He wants. He wants it to come forth out of us. Just as I saw that rolling up around the ends of the ark, and I saw it rolling up on the sides. To me, that represents fullness. It was coming from all over. God wants us to have the fullness of His Spirit. He wants us to have good gifts. He wants us to be well equipped. He wants us to be able to fight off the enemy. And you know what? The enemy doesn't like the glory of God, does he? He does not like it. And he recognizes the glory of God because he was in heaven. He recognizes the glory of God. And here he is up here blocking us from going in from the earthly realm in first heaven up to the second heaven and then up in the third heaven. First heaven is what we see. Second heaven is the prince of the power of the air. That's where the devil is when he is cast out. Third heaven is where God is on His throne. And He's causing us to lose that experience with Him. The devil blocks it. And whenever we can drive him out of the way, then the glory can come down. We have to drive him out. Just like God was told the children of Israel to drive out all of their enemies. You drive out your enemies. You drive out the enemy of hatred. You drive out the enemy of backbiting, gossip. You drive out all of those things that would hinder you from going forth and claiming your inheritance, that block you from coming into the presence of the Lord. In the days that are coming ahead, we know that there's going to be much tribulation on the earth. We know that if we're not, I've heard it stated like this, if we're not prayed up and filled up, we're not going to go up. And the thing about it is, we have to be full of Him. He wants us full with Him. How do you know when a glass is full? It bubbles over. I could have a glass of water here, and I could keep pouring a little bit of water in it, and you'd think, oh, it's full. If you ask somebody to bring you a full glass of water, do they really bring you a full glass of water? No. So it keeps pouring in, and that's what God is doing to us this weekend. He's pouring in, pouring in, pouring in, pouring in, pouring in. And when it gets to the point that it spills over, then you know that it's full. And that's what He wants us, is full and spilling over into the lives of other people. Let's stand. Father, we just thank You. We praise You, Lord, because You desire to fill us, Lord, with Your presence. You desire to make us partakers of Your glory, Lord. Lord, make us worthy to receive it, Lord. Make our vessels pure and clean, that we can receive the things of You, Lord, so that we will know what to do in the days that are ahead, so that we will know who to witness to and who not to witness to. We will know by Your Spirit, Lord. It's not my might, it's not my power, but it's going to be by Your Spirit, Lord. We ask that You do a mighty work, that You would make our spirits more sensitive to the things of God, that You would open us up, Lord, to receive from You, Lord. Father, help us put aside any preconceived notions that we may have about how God should move or how He should not move, but Lord, that we would let Him move the way He desires, Lord. Be like those milk cows, Lord. Turn them loose and let the ark go where it wants to. Turn His glory loose in our lives. Turn Your glory loose, Lord, and turn Your presence loose, Lord. And let You come in and saturate every muscle in our body, every blood vessel, every portion, every bone, every thought, Lord, our minds, our hearts, everything, Lord. Saturate us, Lord, with Your presence and with Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.